What's up, Wind Surge fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Surge Cast. I'm your host. My name is Scotty Gurman, and alongside me, as usual, is none other than the voice of the Wichita Wind Surge. He is Mr. Tim Grubbs. Tim, how you doing, dude?
Doing great. We're rolling along. We're about to get into month number two of the baseball season, so this is awesome.
I feel like we're in the middle of the season already. It's crazy.
It's crazy how you go from opening day jitters, yeah. Opening day excitement, and it's, I hate to say it, but it's a person who does 100 and some games. It's like, it just turns into Groundhog Day pretty quick.
Absolutely.
But I'm not complaining. It's going to the ballpark every day. It's a lot of fun. And this has been a really fun team. It's been bizarre.
Yeah.
But it's been a fun team here in the early going.
Yeah, I know. This is we started off with our longest losing streak from last season. And then we end up surpassing our longest winning streak of last season.
Yeah, we played 120 games last year, and you would think that's a large sample size.
Absolutely.
You would think that we played, in the first 12 games of this year, we've already did more of winning and losing than we did all of last year. So that's just crazy that, and it's, I don't know if this is a sign to come or if, 6 months from now, 5 months from now, that's just going to be something you pull out and be like, that was abnormality. And that's what's weird about, and that's what's fun about baseball.
Yeah.
Is one of the things, we talk about analytics and we talk about baseball and we talk about stats and all that sort of stuff. One of the things that a batting average, and the reason why a lot of the analytical people shut down batting averages being worth anything, batting averages don't mean anything over the, like, there's never enough of a sample size for it to be a decent batting average.
Yeah.
Because it can completely go upside down one way or another. What I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
All of a sudden you go for over 100, and all of a sudden a 300 hitter's batting, 260 or whatever.
Right.
Or you can go, and I know no one would ever go for 100, or nobody would go 100 for 100.
Oh, no, I would go really, for 100. Yeah, exactly.
But, it just shows you how the numbers can be, that it's just a stat that doesn't really mean anything in the long run. And I give it all the time, and I like it. I do think it does mean stuff, but I can see how if you get into the science of it, it really is just too streaky one way or another.
Oh, absolutely. And, I think it does actually take time. And we said it last episode, these guys that are going into the season cold almost, and you're not seeing live pitching. And so the first couple of games it was like the offense just, it wasn't all the way there. But now you got guys like Austin Martin, who's starting to get a little bit hot. And so it's going to eventually come.
Well, the other thing is, and I don't know how much of a factor this is, but if you looked, now the offense has gotten hot for us, but mm-hmm. if you looked through the first 10 games of the season, the top five teams in the league, it's a 10-team league, so 50% of the league, the top five teams in hitting were all Texas teams.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think because of the warmer
weather. Yeah, it's warmer weather down there, man.
So they went from Arizona or Florida spring training to warmer climates where teams like Wichita, we came from South Florida all the way up here and had a lot of 40-degree games.
Yeah, our opening day was freezing.
And windy and et cetera. So I think they're now, we have a little more of a sample size. We're further into the season, and our bats have gotten hot. Now, all of a sudden, you could throw all those variables out. Midland was just in town. They came in as the league's number one offense, and, we nearly shut them out one game. We limited them to one run one game. So you can see how it's – and that's why numbers lie when you're in April, one way or another.
Absolutely. And it's so far, it's been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun.
Every single time I go to the ballpark, I have an absolute blast. I'm the guy that's walking around the concourse. I can never sit still anyways. And
have you had the Wichita dog yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not. Now I'm going to, though.
Yeah. I know it's on the first base concession stand. It may be in other options.
Yeah.
But it's a hot dog. It's a bigger hot dog than your normal dog.
Right.
It's on a little bit of a bigger bun. It's got pulled pork. It's got coleslaw. It's got pinto beans.
Oh, really?
And it's got barbecue sauce.
Okay,
it's a little bit of everything. The one thing I will tell you, do not try to be a man and try to eat it Guy Fieri style.
Oh.
And just standing there and just take a massive bite.
You're going to make a mess.
Yeah. And for people that don't know Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, if you ever watch that show, he just takes these massive bites. I'm not saying don't take a massive bite.
Sure.
But I'm just saying sit down, find a place to sit, you know, if preferably if you have a table or sure. a counter or something, especially if you got a shirt, a white shirt or something, and be prepared.
A bib needs to be involved.
Lot of flavor. Yeah. It's a lot of little things here and there. It's a meal in itself. So it's pretty good.
Well, for the very first time, we get to talk about a new alternate identity for the Wind Surge.
Yes, we unveiled it.
For 2.5 years, I have been silent
yep.
and upset that I can't tell anybody.
So you've been in on the know of this because there was probably a time that you thought that was going to be the team name, right?
I did, yeah. Initially did.
And I know this has been out in the media for the last few days.
Right.
So Wind Surge and Turbo Tubs were neck and neck to be the name of the franchise.
Right.
So this isn't, you know, we're not keeping that a secret. And yeah, obviously, and that's the reason why there's a full-fledged design. Like Todd Radom designed 3 hats, multiple uniforms, both Wind Surge and Tubs. And this was all in the design phase back in 2019 when the ballpark was being built and we were ramping up for our inaugural 2020 season. And the unveil was going to be in November. I think the deadline to get all the hats and the t-shirt, you know, all that stuff was in August.
Yeah,
and the decision was made to push the button on Wind Surge and not Turbo Tubs.
Yeah.
But at that point, it was okay, year two, which we were looking at 2021.
Exactly.
We'll unveil this as an alternate, a theme night identity. And this is what we would wear once a week, twice a week or whatever to go along with Riverfest and all that sort of stuff. So you've known about it. And obviously they went with Wind Surge to be, I think, the navy blue and the red and, you know, the Columbia blue, just to be a little bit more traditional.
Right.
But here we are with these crazy colors.
Oh, great.
And the thing is, I think in the end, this was probably the right decision. I don't know, you know, but I like Wind Surge.
Sure.
And I love Turbo Tubs once a week, maybe twice a week.
Sure.
And players love it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is phenomenal.
Well,
like it's really gone over really well.
So the person who is actually responsible for the Turbo Tubs is actually Bob Millett.
Bob Millett, yeah.
It was his idea. Now, granted, Bob's been here probably longer than anybody that came from the Baby Cakes organization from the get-go.
Yeah, so Bob started to do some branding missions.
Sure.
Learn about Wichita back, I think, in the fall of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
He made a flight up here early 2019. He moved here in April of 2019. He was meeting with city officials, a lot of the Visit Wichita people, a lot of other people. He learned all about Riverfest. So learned about the tub part.
Yeah.
He learned about the gnome being under, you know, the troll being underneath the bridge. He got all of this and got the idea of it and the colors of the prairies of Kansas. And obviously the sail on Turbo Tubs obviously has something to do with the America's Cup boat that's right across the Arkansas River from the ballpark. I mean, the way it's weaved in and out is really well thought. A lot of times, you know, when Tumbavacas was a lot of people involved.
Sure.
But Bob, I mean, with Turbo Tubs, I don't know if there was anybody else really involved. I mean, I think this was all Bob, and he kind of made his own design somewhat, you know,
and then gave it to Todd,
who is, Todd has designed Super Bowl logos, Major League Baseball team logos, Minor League Baseball team, and then Todd took the story and the drawings, the little bit of the design that Bob took it and then put it on steroids and took it to an all-together level. It's just incredible. I mean, every bit of it I like the 3 hats, the different designs of the logo on the cap, obviously the jersey, you know, with the Astros-type stripes, the colors.
Awesome.
Yeah, the one thing I love the most, and I noticed someone wrote it on social media the other day, is obviously if you buy the replica jersey, there's no number on the back.
Right.
And I had seen that for a while. I've seen the replica jersey.
Sure.
I never actually saw the real jersey until recently with the actual number on the back. And the number is what pops the most.
Yeah.
The font.
It looks good.
It looks great. And I don't normally say that.
Mm-hmm.
As a broadcaster who wants my numbers to be very simple, because when I'm watching a guy warm up in the bullpen, I want that number to stick out, especially when it's the visiting team. When it's the home team, when you get 2-3 weeks into the season, I know all arm angles.
Sure.
I know what guys look like. I know tall, thin, whatever. I can tell you right away, oh, that's so-and-so warming up in the pen. But the visiting team, you know, you don't know those guys, so I want the numbers to look good. But I really, the TurboTub numbers are awesome.
The whole idea from the very beginning was amazing.
It is amazing, and it's a great story, and I'm glad it's getting out, and I'm glad that it's been well received. A journalist in town texted me the other day saying, I've lived in Wichita my entire life. Nothing new goes over as well as this has.
Yes.
He said there's always going to be some flack, and there hasn't been much. There's always some.
Oh, sure.
I think the one flack we're getting at the ball club is people want Tim to get rid of Windsurge and be TurboTubs full time. And I think it's a compliment. Like, I don't look at it as a bad thing.
I don't either. And here's the thing. Living here my entire life, do you realize I didn't know there was a troll over by the keeper until Bob told me about this?
Multiple people have told me that.
Tons of people. It's a crazy, crazy thing that, like, that's how deep he went into to figure out what was the most Wichitan thing that we could put on a baseball uniform. And he did an excellent job.
Yeah.
The uniforms look great. The name has a great ring to it.
It's a great
the
name.
The logo
to it.
Looks
and
great.
And then the secondary name, Tubbs, has a great name to it. And then did you notice after on Instagram and social media when the team won on Thursday?
Uh huh. Dub. Yeah, that's exactly
and
right.
To me, I didn't see that coming. I had nothing to do with that. And I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that,
tub dub, man.
That was great.
I think it's great.
I think it just rolls off. And I think this is really going to take on a life of its own. And the players have already asked if they can wear it on the road.
Oh, yeah.
I know we talked about wearing them Riverfest weekend, et cetera. So there could be some more bonus tub games coming up. I don't know. I think it's all being thought through. And obviously... there's more to come. That's what baseball's all about. Is it's going to have a whole nother life. And the fact that if you walk into the merch store right now, talking to Jake Cassidy, he said the tub stuff's going pretty quick.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Make sure you do go to windsurge.milbstore.com and get anything tubs related because it's going quick.
Yeah.
And all of that merchandise has been sitting in Bob Millett's house for like the last 2 years.
Yeah. So. The orange cap has really been flying off the shelves. And that's the one that I wasn't sure about, but the more it's one of those things like the Surge red jersey with the Wichita flag around the collar. I didn't like that at first, but it grew on me. And now that orange hat really is the W, of course, is a lot like the Wichita Wranglers, you know, our old AA ball club here back in the, 90s and 2000s. So I think it's probably what means a lot. You know, with the how that design is done.
Yeah, and it's a big. It's nostalgia for a lot of Wichitans. I mean, when they go into the team store and they see that W look familiar, and it's got a new flavor to it. Obviously, it's a little bit different. It's really cool.
It's really cool.
The whole design of everything, how it went together, it's so well thought out. And again, my cap is off to Bob. I think he did an excellent job.
You were there for the first Tubbs game, and I think
rocking my jersey.
Yep, and it wasn't my idea. I had nothing to do with it, but the organization allowed Bob Millett. They surprised him with the ceremonial first pitch, which I think he thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, he did.
You know. We all work very hard and we all do different things, you know, for the organization. And, you know, just seeing the success on the field or whatever is usually enough to employees, you know. But I think that was one of the times where you're like, you know what? You need to put this guy up on the pedestal just for a minute.
Just for a minute.
And just let him breathe in the moment. And that's going to be a special day. His wife is there. They got the photo of him throwing the first pitch. And he
threw a strike.
He zipped it in there.
He zipped it.
And the one thing, as a person who has thrown one ceremonial first pitch in their life, it's harder than you think. And this is why I'll say it's harder than you think. That if I ever do it again, I'm not going by the rules of the club.
Sure, uh-huh.
It's a promo ball. It's not a real baseball.
Okay.
That promo ball, of course, is not rubbed up.
Right.
You know, when you get a baseball at the ballpark, it's been rubbed up, so the glossiness is off the baseball, so you can get a better grip. It's also a different weight.
Uh-huh.
Promo ball, if you ever hit it, if you ever go to the backfield and pitch it to someone with a bat,
smush it.
It's smush it, and it makes this weird... like yeah. you almost broke an egg. So he, that's why I admire him, because it you don't get a good feel for it. You don't know exactly how to throw it. But a real baseball, it's not that that's easy to throw, sure. but at least it's what you always have thrown your Absolutely. Entire life. It's a little bit, you know, there's some weight to it and the laces are there. And
it's got special mud on it. It's got
special mud on
like
it.
Like special mud. There's a company, and I can't remember. It's over
it's
like,
in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, that's
so,
right.
So traditionally, the balls are rubbed up, and we could probably talk about this for a long time.
Oh, for hours.
And we probably should talk about this in the next podcast.
Okay.
So in 2022, there's three different types of baseballs you're going to see at the ballpark this year.
Oh.
Yeah, there's using certain baseballs. So we'll have the traditional baseball that's rubbed up with a certain mud that comes from a certain river uh-huh. in Pennsylvania. That's the tradition. That's the way it's been for years, decades. Okay. That is what normally happens to a brand new baseball. You take it out of the wrapper, and the clubhouse kids rub it up with this mud to take the shine off of it.
Right.
Well, this year they're using a pre-tacked ball for a stretch, which is the ball we're using right now.
Oh, really?
So it doesn't get rubbed up like that. So when the ball is made, it goes through another process where it's the leather is... There's like a tacking wow. specimen on it so that the pitchers have a better grip.
Okay. You
know, so it's to keep people away from doing a lot of cheating things and different things like that.
Okay.
And believe me, when people say, you know, the pitchers are doing stuff, they're putting sunblock or, you know, they're putting a bullfrog on the ball.
Sure.
A lot of times they're doing it for the safety of the hitter. And I know people are probably like, that's not true. But no, it is. They want to have control. So when they deliver the pitch, they're not going to hit a guy in the head
right.
at 99 miles per hour. They want to have a certain grip. Well, some of this stuff is being done to prevent that.
Yeah.
We're going to have a third ball at some point in the season that is kind of like the pre-tacked ball that we have now,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of a spray-on stuff that they
okay.
put on the balls. So it's an entirely different process to get to this. The whole process of all three balls is to get to the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And so far, the early review from the pitchers is that they like
it. They like it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
At first, I don't think they did. I think we had a few pass balls and wild pitches the first couple
yeah.
of games. They did not play with this kind of ball in spring training. So
okay.
it is kind of a work in progress. So I'm interested to see in the long time. You know
okay.
what I mean? It's kind of like what we talked about with statistics.
Absolutely.
When you're 15 games into the season, you don't have enough you don't right. have enough information, you don't have enough data
right
you know to be able to say, hey, this is working
right.
You need to get 50 games or whatever in
right.
before you can really take a look at everything.
Now my question, we were talking about the ceremonial first pitch. So did you zing it in there?
He zinged it. Oh, did I?
You?
No, I hit the dirt.
Yeah, okay, that's what I've always heard. If you're going to throw out a ceremonial first pitch, you do not lob it in there.
So I zipped it in.
Oh, okay.
I didn't throw it. I mean, I can't throw it very hard anyway.
Oh, okay.
But I probably was in the 40s, but it was a dirt ball.
Oh,
I was afraid of air mailing it over the catcher's
gotcha.
Set.
Yeah, you're afraid of hitting the cameraman that was sitting behind there.
Yeah, uh-huh. No. So it was in New Orleans. It was our second to last year in New Orleans. I think it was my 2,500th broadcast or something like that. It was around there. It wasn't like the actual day.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of one of those things. Hey, let's just do this.
Nice.
But it was cool. It was a good honor. As a person that's had it done, it's one of those things. It's cool, and I'm glad Bob had that opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, now we're on the road.
We're on the road. We're in Little Rock.
Yep. And I'm so excited for the season to be like finally in the swing of things. Now
right.
we're back to, you know, the schedule that you're so used to whenever you're into it. So you're kind of already in the groove.
In the groove, you know, it's six on, six off, and it's been that way early. I know there's some stretches where we're on the road for 12 or home for 12, but yeah, we're into that pattern, and I'm getting used to hotel life
yep.
again, and you know, FaceTiming my family and different things like that. But you know, getting used to the ballpark food and the normal life, but it's good, you know, and it's good. It's a good group of guys, and we're having some fun, and we're back home next week. Taking on Tulsa again.
There we go.
So so we get to see a team that we've seen already this year. We got a small sample size from them. So we'll see, you know, what we get with a six-game series against Tulsa.
Absolutely. And it's a revenge series.
It's a revenge
they
series.
They swept us last time.
They swept
time
us.
Here.
And I'm not too worried about the Propeller series yet. We've got 24 against them.
Yep.
So when you're down 0-3, you still got 21 to go. But it's important that you need to get at least a split. You can't be digging yourself any bigger of a hole than you already have.
Absolutely, and that's going to be starting on May 3rd. So that's when the first game of the series starts. And then we have Cinco de Mayo going on around that week.
Yeah, it's
going
to be a little bit of a – it's a Thursday.
There you go.
And it will be a bit of a fiesta
theme. A fiesta, yeah.
Fiesta theme at the ballpark. There I'm looking forward to it. I think they're still working on all of the elements.
Sure.
But obviously discounted beverages, and I'm sure the food menu will be a little bit different that night with Cinco de Mayo. You know us, we love Cinco de Mayo.
Absolutely.
It's always been a great holiday.
That's right.
It's one of those things. It rolls off the tongue, and let's have a little fun with it.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a lot of stuff coming. That's going to be a fun-filled season. I'm pumped for every Thursday going out to see a Tubbs game. I'm excited for that. But this thing is just getting started. We're just getting rolling. We got a lot of stuff coming.
We got a lot, and we're going to be here every week or, just about talking WinSurge baseball.
Absolutely. Guys, that's all I got. You got anything else you want to shout out before we go?
Not really. I mean, but thanks for checking us out. And come on out to Riverfront because we got more merchandise in the stores. We got an expanded food menu. Mm-hmm. And now that the weather's warming up, it's going to be a lot more fun.
It is going to be a lot more fun. Do check out windsurge.milbstore.com. You can order everything that you would like to see on yourself. We got a whole bunch of Tubbs stuff that's come out. We got Tubbs hats. Do check that out. We sincerely do appreciate it. Guys, that's all we have for the Surge Cast this week. Thank you, Tim Grubbs, very much for coming in. And guys, as always, come out to Riverfront and surge up.